I wanted you to know that as we do this, because of the shortness of time, this will not be an exhaustive study on. In other words, you'll have to use your creativity perhaps in coming up with some things in deciphering needs with a girl as you're visiting with her. You will have already dealt with some of these things, and you'll know the couple may have been around a long, long time, and you'll know that they're pretty far along, and you'll just skip down on your list. In doing this, this is not the order that you are to go by, so don't look at this. This will be a help for you, but sometimes they may have more pressing needs where you need to deal with the idea of physical involvement during courtship. I mean, you know that that's a problem, so you don't wait, 10 weeks before you get into it. Okay, this workshop is on preparing the engaged girl. And first of all, I'd like to read some things out of Good Housekeeping I thought you might enjoy. Just some women that have, it's part of a book on what is a husband, and they've taken some excerpts, and there are a lot of them here, but I'll just read a few of these. A husband is the only labor-saving device you can cuddle. A husband is the person who changes I into we, me to us, and living into loving. If you're lucky and catch a good one, you can train him to do all sorts of tricks. Every home should have one. A husband is someone who says you look good even when you're very pregnant and look like an Easter egg on legs. There is a particular brand of togetherness with husbands you can never feel with anyone else. And then there are a whole bunch more. A husband is someone who buys me chocolates when we quarrel and then eats them himself. And a husband is someone who wakes you up when the baby's crying. A husband is the man to whom you gave the best years of your life because he made them the best years of your life. So there's some real dear ones and some funny ones too. Then a wife is. A wife is the one who stands beside you through all the trouble you wouldn't have had if you hadn't married her. Nikki. A wife is the woman who loves you even though you're overweight, need 2 pair of eyeglasses, and can never remember what you were supposed to pick up on the way home. A wife is a lifetime mate and the best roommate in the world. A wife is someone you want to spend the rest of your life with before you live with her in heaven. A wife is the gal in the house who has 12 smashing outfits, 5 pairs of boots, and 4 handbags, but tells you she has nothing to wear. And the wife is someone who restrains herself from laughter when you arrive home from an all-day fishing trip empty-handed. Okay, these were just some of the little fun and yet good things sometimes that are shared by husbands and wives. We find that marriage falls short today because of 3 things. There's total ignorance of what the role and responsibility is. Perhaps it's sin. Most of the time it's sin or lack of effort. Howard Hendricks says that it's not a home where the Christian home is not where Christ is, but where he rules. And that's what we want to see in the Christian marriage. My purpose in dealing with engaged girls and spending much time with this area is based on Titus 2, 4, and 5. And you know, the purpose of marriage is to show a picture of Christ in the church, of the responsiveness of Christ to, the responsiveness of the church to Christ. And I think we're very familiar with this. And yet we see Christian homes falling apart all around us. And this is scary. Proverbs 14:1 says, a wise woman builds her home, but a foolish woman plucks it down with her own hands. And I want girls to realize what they're doing, what they're getting into, so that when they walk into marriage today, they know exactly, as much as possible, what's involved, so that they're not getting in and kind of, I didn't know it was going to be like this, because so many of us for years have done that. And so it's time now that we take Titus 2, 4, and 5 seriously. If not, we're going to see more and more the breakdown of the home, and we just wonder what society's going to come to, even our Christian society. 4 to 5 million kids are abused every year, and over 2,000 die yearly. And I'm sure by now those statistics are very, very low. And you know, it's happening in Christian homes, and we need to be aware of what's going on and get with it as far as our training younger women. Now, this thing for assurance. When a girl comes to me, I don't care how long she's walked with God or what, I go back to this thing. How do you know God's in it? Because I want her to know. Now, she doesn't have to convince me, but I want her to go back over this thing, take it back to the Lord, turn it loose again. You see, because a lot of their reasons are, well, I just feel like it, or he's a nice guy, and he's a godly man. But you know what? That doesn't... When the times get rough, he doesn't just need to know. She needs to know that this was no mistake for her. Okay? And, you know, to help her realize that all people are in some degree incompatible. I mean, we just are. We bring two different backgrounds to a marriage relationship. And those of you that are married, I mean, you know this. It's not easy. And you're blending in all you were before and all he was before. You have to bring and blend into one new thing. And, you know, I've heard it said a long time ago that God never intends to hook up a 10-horsepower guy to a 2-horsepower girl. But we will. See, I mean, the girl will do that. The husband and the wife will, they'll justify. And they'll let those relationships be put together. And we've got to help them to see what the situation is. And I know Dr. Chafin told Max one time when he was really questioning about whether he ought to marry me, he said it's not how far along the road she is, but if she's on the road and if she's moving. So they need to be aware that he needs, we're talking about dealing with a girl, so he needs to be a growing Christian. And the ideal is that they keep on growing together, and that's the point. If he's not interested in getting any counsel, that tells me something about him. If he's not concerned, and it, you know, it's just for her, because pretty soon he'll be threatened by what you do with her, because I'll be saying to her, you know, well, does he have a walk with God? And I've had one girl say, well, I think, yeah, he reads his Bible every day, I think. So I said, well, why don't you find out what's really on his heart? Well, he was really threatened. You know, well, sure, I do these things, you see. But I feel like that a girl, you can live with anything if the foundation's right. In other words, God will, if you know that God's in it and that foundation is right, then all those circumstances that come up are just little situations to be resolved. They're not anything major to rock the foundation. The right timing is important. Family approval. Now, on this right timing, when circumstances just, you know, it's a rush deal, because if we don't get married right now, you see, and maybe she needs help spiritually, time to grow, maybe he needs help, a lot of these things come into consideration, and I think we need to be careful and help girls to realize not just the right person. We've had a guy come back to us that's now a youth director in a church, and he said, you know, right girl, but it was the wrong time. We just went through so many, many hardships, you see, that would have been a lot easier and would not have been if they had not been married. It was just rougher because she was pregnant a lot of that time when problems were going on. Okay, I like to find out, too, what have you always been dreaming about in your mind for this husband of yours? I think every girl has a dream, and we've grown up with this, you know, and we just think, oh, when we get married, it's going to be this way. We'll stand at the kitchen sink, and I'll do the dishes, and he'll dry, and we'll talk. And I don't envision him laying over on the divan watching the news while you do the dishes. And we have expectations, is what I'm saying. But, you know, I think as Christian women, and, of course, you realize we're dealing with girls at all levels. This can be a girl who's never, doesn't even have a quiet time, you know, that's come to you for help in this area because she's heard you're good at this. Or her pastor said, or somebody said, you need some counseling. Or you can have girls that are really far along in their walk with God. And so this changes the picture quite a bit. But I want to find out, what are the expectations you've had of him? Like, is he a spiritual leader, or he will be the spiritual leader in our home? Where is he headed in life? What's he thinking about as far as the ministry? Now, a lot of times girls will compromise these values. They get into a relationship, and I want to know, if you marry him, will you be having to compromise some of your biblical spiritual convictions? See, because it's so easy to minimize those things that at one time were very important, just in the heat of the moment. Okay, I'm not going to exhaust these areas, so we'll just go right on down because we do have a time problem here. Her personal commitment and walk. Okay, I want her to know, and as Deborah mentioned, these things of priorities. Even though they're not exactly explicit in Scripture, I think that it's a pretty good guideline, and we need to make sure that her priorities are right, even as a single girl. You know, it's just, you know that as a married woman, it's going to get harder. It doesn't get easier. It's going to get harder. And she needs victory in her life right now in dealing with her own her own walk with God. Another thing, some girls feel like that. Well, like I think you had this up on the board. It's kind of like going along for the ride. It used to be the riding on the husband's coattails, and that a lot of girls feel like, oh, it's we get married, we're going to have togetherness. Everything's going to be together, and he won't have your quiet time for you, or say, now, honey, come on, let's sit down and have our quiet time together and share. And a lot of this, if your husband's like mine, he gets up and he has his, and if you didn't get up in time, you're running with the day, and the phone's ringing, and all of a sudden you realize, hey, if it's going to be done, I am going to have to discipline myself to do it. And there was a time in my life when I let it slip because of all those things, till I realized he's not going to do that for me, and are not going to be that encouragement, that outside discipline I felt like I needed, that it was going to be the inner discipline. Proverbs 12:4 says that a virtuous wife is a crown to her husband, but she that maketh a shame is as rottenness in his bones. And I think a girl needs to meditate on that to see her potential. She can, the two extremes. Proverbs 31:30 says, favor is deceitful and beauty is vain, but a woman that fears the Lord, she shall be praised. And in the end, when the beauty fades, that's what's really going to count, is that fearing of the Lord and that spiritual godliness, that spiritual beauty. Howard Hendricks says that it needs to be more of a feeling of not two people that are Christians that think, well, we can live with each other. Everything's compatible, We are going to have our two separate ministries, and we're just going to try to make this thing work. But he said, you need that feeling. If I can't live without you, I really do need you. I'm going to be impoverished without you. In other words, there needs to be some feeling. In other words, we don't need to spiritualize all of it. There needs to be that, and I'm talking about girls who perhaps are older and are considering a relationship. Okay, God's idea of the woman's role is a complementary role, not a competitive one. 1 Peter 3:1-6, and of course the main issue today is this thing of submission that gets the most reaction. But just the idea that it's submission, whether it's right or whether he's right or wrong. They're to love us, whether we're lovely or not. And we're to be submissive whether we think he's right or wrong or not. And how we realize, too, how much as women we really do want leadership at times. We want a guy. There's some of those decisions we just, oh, I'm so glad I don't have to make. I'm glad that's his. But there are other times we just really want to get in there and give our opinion and tell them what it's like. And yet, we want them to hold firm. And we were just thinking the other day about how if that guy crumbles, all women test the limits. We push. But if he crumbled, we'd just crumble too. And it's the same with parents. Your child will push you, but they want you to stand firm because that's their security. We need boundaries as women. We kind of feel insecure if we don't know where the boundaries are as far as what he expects of us. Just go do your thing. It's kind of, it just kind of leaves you with an a feeling of no security because you don't know where those boundaries are. Okay, it's not inferiority, but it's a role that we have. And if a girl will refuse to submit, then I don't think she ought to marry, because it is not a matter of can she, but it's a matter of will she. It's a matter of choice. Will. It's not a 50-50 relationship. She needs to realize that. And everyone, even the meekest, sweetest little girl, has the capacity to be bossy. And she needs to realize that and to be naggy. Howard Hendricks says the tragedy is today is the blurring of the roles. See, just kind of the sliding off the edge, and the roles are blurred. And he said women today need to know it's a privilege to be a woman. It really is. And see, we've lost that. We're all trying to, I say we are all in general terms, we're trying to be like the man. We want the equal job, the equal pay, and I'm not against equal pay and the working necessarily, but we, fighting for our rights. And that's not the picture that the Lord leaves for us. We can have some of those things, but it's not that you don't find that pushing behind it. Okay, when God created us to be a helpmeet and a completer, if he did not want to make something just like what he'd made right before. In other words, if God, I would not be a helpmeet or a completer if I was just like the man. There's nothing to complete. You see? So we have that complementary role. Billy Barra says that, talks about the atmosphere of the home. She says, the wife and mother gives the musical pitch and the melody for the day and causes harmony or disharmony to the day and family. And she put it in musical terms. Adaptable. This is based on Ephesians 5:22 in the Amplified, and it says, let the wife see that she adapt herself to her own husband, not to change him, but to adapt to him. And I heard a little statement that you perhaps have heard where it says, a maid to a man is a vision ethereal, but a man to a maid is a piece of material. We're trying to change him. In the back of our mind, if we don't like something that is part of him right now, we're thinking, he'll love me so much, he'll want to change. Then that you need to deal with this thing of I didn't put this in here, and you can write it in there if you have room. Relationship to parents. This thing about leaving and cleaving. Genesis 2:24 tells us about we must leave our families. Now, that does not mean in respect and love, but it does mean in that basic loyalty, in that basic relationship. Now you cleave to that husband. And anything in your life, now sometimes the girl's thinking in the back of her mind, when we have trouble, I'll run home to mama. You know, sometimes if mother lives too close by, there's really problems. And we have to help them to come to that. You kind of probe and see if there's any unnatural pulls of my mother or daddy on that she suspects will be trouble on that relationship. And then you can deal with those. There's in the Bible study called Philosophy of Christian Womanhood, they have a section on tips for daughter-in-laws and tips for mother-in-laws, and just some things you can do as a daughter-in-law and a daughter and a daughter-in-law to break those bonds, you know, the apron strings, to cut the apron strings, and yet to keep the respect and helping your family really realize you still love them. It's in a Bible study book called Philosophy of Christian Womanhood. If you have, I tell you what, I meant to bring it out here. It's copyrighted, and I ran off and left it, and if anybody would like to see those suggestions in specific, I'll bring them tonight. I didn't feel I could Xerox them. But if anybody wants to see that in particular, you'd like to? Okay, good. Okay. Well, maybe I can. Can you reword them? I don't know. We'll see what I can do. Personal integrity. Do what's right. Okay, personal expectations of marriage. Not so much finding as being the right person. Okay, and this is where I try to get her, if we've not dealt with it before, to kind of tell me, hey, what do you expect? Well, and a lot of these expectations will be worldly ones, you know. Well, I want to have a day off each week, or we're planning on having a date one night a week. Well, does he realize that too? You know, because we can have some expectations. Before marriage, you can have expectations, and I'm hoping that you will help her to see which ones are valid and which ones aren't. But then after she gets married, she gives that list of expectations to the Lord. And I think before marriage, a girl has more leverage to say to the guy, hey, I expect you to be the spiritual leader. I expect you, you know, I expect we'll be going to church. I expect that we will have children. These are my expectations, you see. And as long as they're based on Scripture, and even some that aren't based on Scripture, there needs to be an understanding. Okay, a woman's needs. And I'm going to have to just go through this really quick, so you'll just hang on, and we won't have time to discuss, and I'm sorry, because I know you'll have some probably disagreement or question about what I'm saying. Okay, help her to see that God is ultimately going to meet her needs. And then I'm going to give you a list here. Security. Both financial and emotional, she needs to realize she's number one in his life. Love, the need to be needed and wanted. Appreciation, companionship, /communication, fulfillment, and out in parentheses I have with Jesus only, or with Jesus plus the job, or Jesus plus a family, or Jesus plus fellowship. What is going to make you... Now, see, none of those are wrong. But where do you get your fulfillment? You know, is it with Jesus only and these things are side benefits and blessings? Or are you demanding? Okay. And then she needs a leader. A man's needs. He needs affirmation and admiration. He needs to be head of the home. And I like this distinction. He needs her more to adapt than him to take charge. That changes the whole tone of that situation. Appreciation, he needs love, he needs a good, solid sex relationship. Okay, the greatest bond on the next page now, we've got a little, few little fill in the blanks. The greatest bond in their marriage ought to be the love for Jesus Christ, based on Romans 15:5 in the Phillips. The greatest problem is selfishness. The greatest need is total commitment. And the greatest joys are, and you can fill in the blanks there, peace, joy, real fulfillment. Debbie, did you get one of these? Did you want one to fill in the blank? That's okay. I just want to make sure you had one if you didn't want to. No, it was a... There it is, right there. I didn't know if it would help you or not. I'm sorry. You can keep it just like... If you don't want to write on it, don't worry about it. That's fine. I just thought it might help you kind of figure out where to go. Sorry. Counting the cost. Okay, I want her to realize what she is going to give up, especially in this day and time when girls continue to look at the outside world and see that the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. She's going to give up her name, her freedom to come and go like she pleases and when she wants to, her freedom for her own schedule, the time you could put, the way to spend her finances, and her goals for the ministry. And I have a little hard time, and some of you may really disagree with me on this point, but I have a little hard time when, and Debbie, maybe we need to talk about this later, you may can give me some new light on this, but when a girl says, God has called me this way, and the man says, God has called me this way, and we're going to blend together, and she's willing, unwilling to adapt and fit hers in with his. And there's still a division there. I mean, sometimes there's not, you know, it's still, well, God's called me to this and hanging on to it. And I feel like when God wants us together in marriage, he will blend those ministries. And that whatever God's called her to will fit in to his ministry. She'll still be able to do some of those things. You see? Judy?
And the one thing that helped me, mine was separate and mine was, you know, he had his niche. And though he encouraged me to pursue mine because of feeling insecure, a little insecure in going that direction and not having the combined roles, I communicated to him that in my ministry function, I wanted him to know I was representing him in what
good.
I was doing.
Okay, good.
See, and that was my way of
right.
being secure and under him.
That's very good. And see, I agree with that too because I do some of this. I work with internationals. And Max does not necessarily do that, but he sanctions it. And yet I also have I'm also interested in what he's doing. I'm involved. I'm available. Anything, you see. And when and that's what I mean. In other words, together in heart, I guess I should say. We're trying to preserve the oneness of the relationship. See, there are a lot of good ministries, but the whole point is to preserve and build the togetherness and oneness. And where the home unit has the most effective, and I agree with you, see, but we don't all do the same things. You know, Max does not lead a women's Bible study, and that's good, but, you know, but, I think maybe you see that there. But a lot of times I guess I'm thinking about kind of the career type that will not come, you know, in a sense doesn't come together. Okay? Now, in counting the cost, I want to realize the new roles, and maybe you can just leave some blanks here. You may want to do this when you get home, is think of all the roles, because a woman becomes a nurse, doesn't she, Debbie? A PR lady, household engineer, a gourmet cook, a seamstress, to whatever degree you want to do all these things, purchasing agent, a communications expert, if mother-in-law gets written, you write, usually, the correspondent, the interior decorator, the bookkeeper, many times, the gardener, the counselor, the errand runner, the hostess, the social worker, if there's outside work done, the gift buyer, and the taxi driver. And these come in time. But for a woman to say to me, I don't have anything to do, I think, lady, I'm so bored. Just think of all these. And you can take any of these to whatever extent, you see. Plus, we didn't say God's representative to the world. Okay? And I want to stress on her that it's going to be work. It's going to take effort. It must be nourished and fed, the relationship. She's going to have to work on it. You don't just get married and hope, you know, that it's going to be okay. And she needs to realize the new's going to wear off of it. That's normal. In other words, I often think about, you know, something you really want, this new car, this new stereo, and how bad you want it, and you just can hardly wait till you get it, and you get it, and after you've had it for a period of time, what happens? The excitement's worn off. Well, marriage can be that way, too. And I don't mean to that same extent. You've got to keep working on making it fun and joyful and exciting, because if you just let it go, it's just like your relationship and fellowship with the Lord. If you don't feed it, it's going to really subside, and you're going to think, oh, you know, what's happened? Okay, the permanence. I think it's important that they realize there is no escape hatch. They don't go into it with that idea in mind. Mark 10:9 talks about that man, what God's put together, man should never separate. Proverbs 31:12 in the Amplified. Divorce is not a live option. We don't even joke about it. A lot of girls will say, you know, they'll start joking about it, or guys, and then they'll think, well, I'll teach him. He shouldn't treat me that way. And they'll think, well, that's a pretty good idea. I'll just leave for a little bit and let him see how it feels. And then all of a sudden, you've got the problem. Over half of the children today live in one-parent homes. Physical involvement during engagement. I take them through a step of confession if they've got a problem already, and I try to help them plan for purity. And on that article that you've gotten, so I just read through that thing completely this morning. I just kind of scanned it, and I told Max, I said, this is the best thing. And the idea that you cannot back up. Once there is a physical involvement, they're either going to have, and they're planning on being married, there is no way they can be together like they were before. They're going to have to, I had a missionary couple friend before they married, and they said, we don't trust ourselves. We always go together. If we want to be alone, we go to a place like Sambo's or someplace out in public where there are people, and yet we're alone. You see, but they just said, we never sit in a parked car. We never give ourselves those opportunities. They need that clear conscience. And to realize that he's a sinner. A lot of girls, and she's a sinner too, but a lot of girls begin to look at these spiritual people, men, you know, and they'll think, oh, he'll hold the line. You know, I can trust him. And they lean on him, and they shouldn't. And I often say, don't trust a guy just because he's a Christian, when I'm talking to girls, just dating, you know, because that's the reason they're, you know, they don't know how men are made. Okay, the areas of discussion. And that paper there will give you some ideas. But in the differences between men and women, they need to understand that. You need to understand, have them talk about, I give them projects of talking about, if they have not before, how you spent Christmas as a child, how he spent Christmas, the traditions, what he likes, what you like, what you're wanting to preserve. Because, see, if you like something in your home, you'll come and say, this is the way it has to be done. We always open the presents at this time. You know, we always get up early. And, you know, I talked to her wife the other day, and she said, on Christmas Eve every year, her family dressed up in these beautiful gowns and everything, and they went to visit somebody, you know. And this year they were going someplace, and she said, are you going to wear that? See, just little things that really make a difference. Okay, the spending of money on gifts. Now, Christmas gifts, does spending a large amount speak love to your mother? In other words, you think, now, I don't do much for her any time but at Christmas, and I'm going to give her this big, big deal, and I've always done it, you see. And to him, he thought, now, let's dematerialize Christmas. So, you know, a box of stationery is fine. So you've got two different ideas here. Okay, your leisure time. Now, see, it doesn't mean that any of this is wrong. It means that you just need to have them talk about it and understanding how they spend leisure. I like to window shop. Max likes to read. It's hard to read walking down the street. okay, how the household will be run. Whose responsibility is it to do certain jobs? In other words, in a man's mind, a lot of times he'll think, now, these are men's jobs. This is what I'm going to do. And he'll plan for you to let him do that. And if you don't know that, see, we had to deal with the trash. You know, Max's mother took out the trash. My father took out the trash. Well, when we got to the point of discussing it after we had erupted, well, we figured it all out. Okay? Who does the bookkeeping in the family? See, as a single girl, perhaps you have just handled it yours so beautifully, and you get to marriage and he takes it away from you because he's the leader, and you think, I don't have control anymore. I mean, I really felt that way, you know. And fortunately, he delegated it back to me. And I have to be careful, though, that I don't make him feel like I'm doling it out. Mama's giving you money, you know. But fortunately, in our situation, that really did help. But at one time when he tried to take it over, I really did have feelings of, I don't know what's going on. You know, I'm afraid here. But God really dealt with that, and it was a good experience for me just to have that area tested. Okay, the order of the home. Okay, what is he a neatnik? Are you a neatnik and he's sloppy? What to you, it speaks, you know, being comfortable. And a lot of times we have to talk about these things. You know, it depends on how his mother kept house. Okay, in this area, it's nearly time to quit. In this area of sex, Matthew 19:4-5, I stress the one flesh. Understanding the need of the man. What is normal, what is not normal. That little article there will help you. Birth control. I talk about the different methods. And there, too, what is normal and what is abnormal. Everyone has their, may have some different opinions. I talk about the pill. And I don't know about you, but from what I've read, and some of you may be on the pill, and that's fine, I try to make a girl to consider. I've read enough stuff to realize there's danger in it. I mean, I've talked to some reputable doctors. One doctor told me, he said, I won't let my wife take them. He said, they're a 20-year time bomb. We don't know what'll happen. And so I've got a couple of articles on the risk of pill taking and are they really safe. I read a deal in March of probably 1975 of A Good Housekeeping. There was a story of a woman, and you ought to read it. It was really scary. And so what I say to the girls today, I personally do not recommend it, but you take it before the Lord, because they are convenient. I did take them. I didn't know anything was wrong with them. They did not bother me. But if there are risks, hey, you pray about it so that if you do end up with breast cancer, you can say, God, you know, it was not. I mean, I know you led me in this area, okay? And that's all I'm saying. I'm not totally against them because they are so nice and convenient. Work outside the home. Before the kids, I feel like it's fine, although you must recognize the dangers of not wanting to quit. And I think it boils down again to the fact of why do we want to work. I try to ask a girl to go through her priorities. You know, will it hamper my time with the Lord? What does my husband think? And sometimes we have to be careful how we manipulate our husbands. Some girls will say, oh, I'm just so bored here and just really cause such a fit. He'll say, yeah, go to work. I mean, you know, they're all kind of, I've got a whole message, a 5-page deal on this thing. And we as Christian women, as we heard yesterday, we have no right to criticize another woman who chooses to work. But I believe as Christian women today, we need to begin to turn the tide, you see, because over 2 million kids come home to an empty home. And there's just a time in their life when we do not, you know, and there are some alternatives. You can do some things in your home. You can do some things with your children. You see, I mean, there, I'm not saying no one should ever work. And I'm saying we need to be loving, not critical, of women that do work. Although I think we need to give them the alternatives. And begin with a new generation to say, hey, it's okay to stay home and be a mother. And I tell you what, there's more to being a mother than just being home. I mean, there's something about my attitude, my intent to train and to work with a child. I mean, it takes a lot to be creative, you know. And I also feel like they need, as a mother, of course, this is getting on down into the line, but I feel like, too, I have enough outside activities, and I always have, to keep me from feeling bound. I do feel sorry for the woman who's just without a car and stuck with those kids, and I feel like you're a more interesting person if you can get out and go have lunch with your friend. You know, leave the kids and go and do some things. Take a time for shopping. You know, take those short away from them times. And then I feel like we are happier and more fulfilled, and we're not always looking for something and feeling like we're really put down in our role as homemaker. In 1990, let's see, 2 out of 5 marriages are going to be breaking up. This was from Billy Barras. She shared this. It's out of the Ladies' Home Journal, May 1980. 42 million women are working today, and in 1990 there'll be 52 million. 2 out of every 5 marriages will break up. In 1990 there will be an increase of 63 preschoolers who'll have working moms. On a Donahue program, I heard about a lady who wrote a book on the American mistress. She said that 85% of these women that are involved as mistresses work outside the home. 50% began on the job. 50% are Protestant, 30% are Catholic, 37% are in their 20s, and 27, these were the largest numbers. Now, she told you the ones in the teens and the 60s, you know, believe it or not. She said 27% of them are in their 30s. 40% of these that are mistresses are single, and 32% are divorced, but 25% are married. And she said, and she is apparently a non-Christian, although she didn't like the idea of mistresses herself, even though she wrote the book. She said, feminism makes mistresses. Work outside the home makes mistresses. That's what this woman was saying. 50% of married women have affairs, she felt like. And it happens to the least suspecting woman. So I'm just saying that, it's riper out there for the problem. Okay, and I think that whether a woman works or not to be fulfilled, it depends on her motivation. This thing of, I'm going to make a name for myself. You know, Proverbs 31 says, her husband shall be known in the gates. But I tell you what, that bionic woman, she was known too. I mean, she was known by her acts and her deeds. You know, it says her children rise up and call her blessed and her husband. And see, I think God gave her the name. And you'll be known. You don't have to make a name for yourself. You're going to be known behind this successful man, you know. And that husband, if you're doing your job, he'll praise you. But I think that the whole thing boils down to that. See, if the attitude is rebellion and determination, and I'm going to do it regardless. Okay, how to handle conflicts. Now, I'm just going to touch on these things. We'll just keep going until people come in, I think. Is that okay? All right, just a few little key things, and you probably have some ideas here too. I wish we had time to share. But don't discuss controversial issues after 10 o'clock at night. Mr. Gene Moore suggests that. Because you're just in no shape, you know, physically and emotionally to handle it. Attack the problem and not the person. This is real important because we usually attack each other. Why didn't you do so-and-so? Or why did you do? There will be problems. Help them to realize that. Before marriage, you know, everybody's so, you know, glowy and rosy-eyed, they can't see that there will be any problems, not any that would really make a difference. Okay, if necessary, get a third party. And what I will say even a little bit later, I try to get them, I get a relationship with them that they'll come back after they're married. I say, hey, we're going to come see you, you know, or y'all come on back over and have them over for supper. And I'd like to help, you know, continue the relationship so that you can help after, when things really begin to, where the water hits the wheel, you can begin to help them with the relationship. And generally, I don't think it's general, I think it's true, that when there is a conflict, pride is somewhere involved with somebody. This thing of spiritual growth. What about the devotional life? You know, what is he expecting? Get him to talk about this area. What about church? What about going to conferences? What does he feel, what do they feel about Bill Gothard or Verna Berkey or, this women's conference coming up in November? Try to get them into as much input as possible. Keep on growing. Don't let them get set in concrete. This thing of, tough, that's the way I was when you married me. It's the way I am, going to be always. Keep them getting personal help. And hopefully, you're not dealing with a situation where the guy is just a nice churchy guy and she's a girl you've been working with. But that'll sometimes be the case. Hopefully, you can use this relationship now to bring him into a counseling situation and get him challenged with one of your husbands. Because she's in for trouble, any way you look at it. Okay, the ministry, hospitality. You'd be surprised at how many people, one will want to and the other won't. They won't see it as a ministry. The girl can be real uptight about, because she's got some too high expectations about how you have to entertain. She's seen mother put out the silver and get uptight and in a frenzy, to get everything clean. And, sometimes I've cleaned my things up, people coming in, and there's many people in there that couldn't see the floor if they wanted to. are they not looking for dust on the top of the icebox? and I get in this frenzy, and I think, Lord, or they'll come in, and I'm still upstairs getting dressed. The house is ready, and I'm upstairs going wild. And that's for the birds. That's not what God intended. Hospitality is, and Max had to help me one time about my expectation of hospitality because, to have people come in at the supper hour, and I make three little portions, no leftovers, hopefully, three little portions, and to say, hey, come join us. And I'm thinking, what can we eat? What can I, and how I think they would feel embarrassed to sit down in there. I try to divide three hamburger patties, or whatever. He said, you can all eat anything. Hospitality is more than the food you have. And that's going against my grain. I've got to work at that one. Okay, this deal with children. They need to talk about it. Do they really want them? What role, what importance do they have? Howard Hendricks says he gives them to you to help you grow up spiritually. And a lot of people today don't want to be bothered. Are you unwilling to get involved? Do you believe God can't, their problems are so big, God can't even handle them? A lot of people feel that way today. They want their career, they don't want to be bothered. But to realize they're gifts from the Lord. And I tell you what, they really grow up quick, don't they? All of a sudden. In-laws. See how he treats his mom. And in that study, Philosophy of Christian Womanhood, and I'll try to get, I don't know how to, it's listed here how you can get it and how to go through it. It's really a good Bible study. But these are just some little supplements they have stuck in this Bible study. But they have a deal on how to be the daughter-in-law, see, and some ideas. And one idea I picked up from somewhere, and I don't think that it was there, though, but to send my mother-in-law to their parents. They need that, not where I'm always there. But so they can talk, you see. And I know a situation where the girl's very insecure, very threatened. And when the son tries to get off with the dad just for a talk, well, she's always there. Got to go fishing with him. Got to go do this, And it's just a bad deal. Personal appearance. Teach them how not to be tempted themselves, how to be careful, you see, and then how not to be a temptress about their dress. Because a lot of women, sometimes you can let down your guard, and they need to make sure they agree. We had a youth director, Max, counsel with at one time, and it just didn't look like a good situation. He was going with this girl that really had a body, and they just were not equally yoked, and the guy justified the situation, and they got on their honeymoon, and she had her bikini. Now, this was back in 1964, which you just didn't do things like that in 64. Okay, we must be a magnet in the home, because if not, there's always something that's going to be pulling, someone going to be pulling from the outside. Somebody's always going to look better than you. There's just no way. So we need to be a magnet at home, to be as attractive as possible. Now, areas for possible training. I feel like today girls are trained in everything but where they'll spend so much of their life, and that's homemaking and housekeeping and cooking and cleaning. And I've recommended you read Heloise, that you share some of these neat little ideas and tricks about homemaking and things to make, ways to do things. I shared with a busy mother that and she thought it was the greatest thing, and I thought, good night. And I said, why don't you wash a little every day? She had three children, and she was trying to get time to read and write. Well, it was Ruth Ann Ridley and all those books, you know. She said, how do you get it all together? And I said, well, why don't you wash every day, just a little bit, you know, so that you never have this mountain of clothes to fold. And she started doing that. The next time I saw her, she said, that was so helpful. But anyway, see, the little things sometimes will liberate people tremendously. And it's amazing to me what some people don't know. And, of course, you know, you just learn. I pick up everything I can from people that are good cooks, or, you know, they seem to be successful. Okay, and they need to feel success in these homemaking skills. And now, just little miscellaneous things I tell the girls. Hey, don't untrain him. Before marriage, if he picks up his socks and he does this or that or the other, if he cleans out the bathroom sink, just praise him to high heaven. Encouraging. Don't untrain him in anything he does that's good. If he takes out the trash, appreciate it. Because when you get children, it's a lot harder. See, what your tendency is, oh, honey, I love you so much. Let me do that. I'll pick up. I'll make the bed. You just go on. And it's so nice to have somebody standing on the other side of that bed helping. And you'll realize that after a while. And realize that TV and telephone are your greatest problems, time wasters. Psalm 101:2 in the Living. And I like this verse. It's really a loose paraphrase. But it says, I will try to walk a blameless path, but how I need your help, especially in my own home, where I long to act as I should. Psalm 101:2 in the Living. And then there's bunches of Bible studies, some you're familiar with, some you're not, perhaps. And I've not gone through all those, so if you got into one of them and said, does she recommend that? Well, I'm not, so, you know, call me and see. Ask. And then on the bibliography, there's some things there I think would be helpful. Let's pray, okay? Lord, we do long to act like we should in our own home. And Father, we do long to see other homes be brought into conformity with your will and to honor and glorify you. And Lord, to that end, we yield ourselves to be obedient to your word in teaching younger women. So Lord, we ask for your strength and your wisdom, that we might not get on any tangents, that we might be open-minded and yielded to your spirit, not open-minded, Lord, to the point where we're willing to accept the world's viewpoints on so many things that are contrary to your word. But God, that we would we would continue being learners. And Father, we thank you for the privilege that you've given us as wives and mothers. And God, we just yield ourselves to you today in Jesus' name. Amen.
Yeah, one question
came up.
Yeah.
You turned me off, didn't you? Oh, we're still on? Okay, well, no, let's see what her question is, and I'll repeat it.
Do you suggest counseling separately? Are you promoting, it seems like you, a woman counsels with a woman, a man counsels with a man, instead of a joint counsel, and why?
Okay, I would think it would be good. The ideal situation to me is where there would be some times together with a husband. Okay, I mean, where the husband is counseling with a guy, you're counseling with a girl, and there would be times when you'd bring them together. And a lot of times, you know, y'all take them out to eat or something, go as a couple, where they can see you, where they can be in your home, that sort of thing. In my latest situation with counseling, the girl was here and her fiance was up in Kansas City, and it was less than ideal.
So you're saying that...
But I need to help her, though. I mean, she still needs help. Okay.
You think you can meet their needs more effectively taking them separately than putting them together in these situations?
On some deals, uh-huh. Yeah. Now, Judy, what would
I was going to say, when I counsel some women in this area, engaged girls, the area on sex, we had them all, just the girls over for dinner, and Willard shared with them about sex because it was more of an impact on them to hear from a man's point of view.
That is very good.
It really clicked.
That's
more
very
than
good.
That I shared how important it was to him.
Yes. And I think it would be very, very good.
And each one after marriage shared how helpful that to hear.
I think if you could do it together, with a, if your husband has that kind of time and y'all have the availability as a couple, I think it would be an exciting thing to do it together. And then if you felt like there were some parts where it'd be better pulled off, you know, where he didn't need to go through the thing on what you could do to make his family feel good, you know, or something, well, then you could pull off. But a lot of times we don't have that privilege. You know, you're working with a girl at a different time. But if possible, great, you know. In other words, do what you feel is best before the Lord. You know, you don't have to follow any particular thing, but adapt it as the need arises.